this is Jean Watson, and I'm so glad you could join me today on UCB Ireland. Well, we just finished celebrating Christmas and New Year's Day as I'm speaking to you, and at this time of year, many of us suddenly have a heightened awareness of the passage of time. The beginning of a new year invites us to think about the things we want to leave behind in the old year and the goals we want to set for ourselves in the new. And if we don't have goals for ourselves, the world is full of suggestions on how to achieve greater happiness in life. You'll be happier if you lose more weight, get in shape, eat better, make more money, buy more stuff, take a bigger vacation, get more followers on Instagram. You fill in the blanks. And while these are all good things, they are all human plans, and human plans can only bring about human results. What if God has plans for you and I that are bigger than we could ever accomplish in our own strength or ability? What if, instead of trying to figure out our lives on our own, we looked up and sought guidance from above, from one who knows us so much better than we know ourselves? Well, a long time ago in Babylon, some Persian astrologers did just that. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. 'In Bethlehem, in Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him.' After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." Well, there's a lot to unpack in this beautiful, mysterious story that we all are so familiar with. First of all, the magi, or wise men, or kings, as we sometimes call them, were not actually kings, and the Bible doesn't tell us how many of them there were. It's assumed there were three, since three gifts were given, but all we know is that there were more than one of them. The term magi refers to the Persian priestly caste of Zoroastrianism. As part of this religion, the priests paid particular attention to the stars and believed that they were important for understanding the times they were living in. The Bible says they were from the east, which historians believe to be Babylon, which is often referred to in scripture as the east. On today's map, Babylon would be pretty close to Baghdad, Iraq, which means the Magi would have traveled more than 900 miles to meet Jesus. So how would Persian astrologers have known about a Jewish Messiah, and why were they so passionate about worshiping him? Well, we don't know exactly, but perhaps they had learned the Jewish prophecies from a Hebrew captive who was living in Babylon about six centuries earlier, named Daniel. Daniel was so gifted and wise that he was cast into the lion's den because some of the magi of that day were jealous that King Darius had appointed him, a Jew, to be chief of the Magi. But perhaps after they saw Daniel's God deliver him from the lions, they were willing to listen to Daniel as he shared with them the Holy Scriptures, especially the prophecies concerning Jesus' birth. Well, however they found out about these prophecies, they were not Hebrew, but they were God seekers. They were taking time to study the Word and time and attention to search and wait for signs of Messiah's coming. They were looking up beyond the distractions and concerns of their lives to find one who could show them the way to eternal life. Secondly, they honored Jesus as God through their worship, not just by bowing before him and giving him expensive gifts. They worshiped God with their lives, and they knew there was a power, a plan, and a great love beyond their understanding that was worth the enormous risk of the 900-mile journey. They were willing to go way out of their way to find the way. It was a huge sacrifice to present their gifts before the king, and it shows that they believed who Jesus was. At the same time, Jesus' own people, the chief priests and the scribes who knew that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, were so busy following laws to make their way to heaven that they didn't notice the way when he appeared. And when they heard of the star, they couldn't be bothered to make the 6-mile journey from Jerusalem to look and see what had happened. They didn't have eyes to see him or hearts to worship him. Then there was Herod and the rest of Jerusalem. Matthew 2:3 says, when Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. They too did not have eyes to see or hearts to worship. So the Son of God was born exactly where the prophecies foretold him to be born. And the event was marked by a star so brilliant and so obvious that a child could find it, or even a pagan astrologer from another part of the world. And the wise, the learned, the religious, the self-righteous completely missed it. And we are no different. The Lord is right here among us. Every day through the Holy Spirit, he's so willing to speak to us and lead us as he did the Magi. If we will take time to look up, keeping our focus on things above, not things on the earth, how will we be led by God if we're not seeking him in his word and in prayer every day? Finally, we need to ask God for tender hearts to worship him as the Magi did, not just with our gifts, but with our lives. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. As we enter the new year, let's examine our lives. What's the Lord asking you to lay down before him as an act of worship in this new year? Maybe a sinful habit, a relationship you know is wrong. Maybe the Lord is simply asking you to place your plans, dreams, and desires on the altar again. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life. Let's pray and ask to be led by the Lord this year. Father, in this new year, we ask you to help us to seek your presence and your word and your will for our lives every day. Then we ask you to give us hearts of worship that will stay soft before you and willing to lay down our desires and dreams that we might lay hold of yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, sometimes we can learn wisdom from the most unexpected people, like astrologers from the East. May we be open to God's leading and willing to obey him completely in this new year. I know the Lord has good plans for all of us if we will follow him. Thanks for listening, and I hope you can tune in again next time on UCB Ireland. Take care now.